Okay, let's start with the prayer then. Lord, we thank you once more for who you are. Not because we have this or that or we lack this and that, but you are a loving God. So we thank you. We thank you that we have the opportunity to stand in your behalf and be an ambassador and enjoy the eternal life, the life you have intended for humanity. Thank you for restoration, Lord, the work you have started on our life and in so many who are willing. We thank you for your provision of salvation, for the cross. People like me, us, Lord. It's only your grace and your mercy. So when we come to your word, we do not pretend as if we achieved something, but we stand in awe and we come in your presence in trembling, in respectful, in awe, Lord. We worship you, we adore you, Lord. May this word, you help me to communicate. Above all, Holy Spirit, you are the true teacher. So I pray this word may provoke or even invoke people's heart and create a desire to see things in a different light, in eternal light. Whatever temporary we are in, maybe we see it in the eternal so that we will receive more understanding, wisdom, and achieve and do more than what human capacity can do. So Lord, help me, help us. All this we pray for the King, the glorious King we expect. We pray this and we do this for your glory and for our blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. I'm really been ministered in the prayer and everything. So I feel like peace, this kind of peace here. And it's really nice. So like Ephraim said, I'm going to start with the foundation of the church. Foundation of anything is very crucial. So let's think, I mean, if you are going to found something, if you're going to build and work on something, the one thing you want to make sure and the one thing you should get it once, the first time, is the foundation. If you have some sort of mistake in the foundation, there is no chance you're going to come back and recover. I mean, if for example, we talk about a building. If you dig enough or if you did something in the foundation and you build a building, you get to the 10th floor, you see a crack. And the reason that crack appear on the 10th floor is something hasn't been done properly in the foundation. So if you want to have a permanent, you might have a temporary fix, glue it here and there, but if you want a permanent fix, you have to take down everything and start again. So I brought this to highlight to show that foundation is very important. Think of the universe, how big it is. I mean, I can play around with apps and I can show you lots of things, but the universe is vast. Even the created, literally touchable, visible things, we can't even comprehend. If we think of the universe, the galaxies, and come down, think of small things. What What is the smallest thing you can think of? I mean, most of you are in uni. We learned. What the smallest thing? Anybody? Atom. I'm not going to lecture on physics, but you come down, invisible things. Electron is invisible. You can't see electron. But there is electron. I mean, we all have mobile phones and we use all the gadgets which work in electrons. When you come down to the minute and invisible even things, by manipulating them, you can produce powerful things. Atomic bomb. What about that for foundation? Well, we will blow it up, but in a sense of a power, something strong. In the Bible, we see that this Almighty God who created the visible and the invisible, the spiritual realm, when God talks about his power, yes, the creation will describe him and everything is glued, like in Colossians, as it says, in Christ. But this God, with this all power and the things we are trying in short time to describe, going to the bigger, vast of visible things and going down to the smallest and the invisible things, and we can't talk about dimension and things like that. So what is the foundation, secure foundation? What could it be? What can we get, like exploring the universe or exploring the minute invisible things? What thing are we going to use as a foundation? Especially, church is the ambassador of the invisible kingdom of God. So, God in his wisdom, like Apostle Paul said, and the apostles, we have built the foundation. And let every person be careful what you work on, either something grass or easily broken, breakable things, or some precious stones. So God, when he talks about for his power, even if it might seem something simple from humanistic point of view, God in his wisdom, in his eternal wisdom and plan, he built his church. He gave us as a foundation the cross. In Ephesians chapter 1, there is a verse which amazingly describes what God's call it, my power. This is my power, God says. It's not the universe which I expect to be or something else. But God says his power is like this. God, he, referring to God, demonstrated this power in the Messiah by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. So we see here that God is saying, this is my power. My power is to send his son to die for a broken world, to die for me and for you, and to raise him up from the dead. He took our death, he took our sin, and by restoring us, God is saying, I'm showing you my power this way. This is the power of love, where no one can stand. So, if you ask God, what is your power, God? He said, I created everything in 6 days. He doesn't say that, even if that shows the glory of God. God is focused. Everything the eternal existence of, be it spiritual or physical, everything is focused on Christ. And as we see here, he made him head. So we see here the concept of headship and body. So the church, it says, the church is his body, it says. He is the head, where everything is controlled or instructed from, is from the head. So the church is based on this foundation which God has planned, and we are his body. We see this like, let me take you, I'm sure you read the Bible, but briefly, let me take you the pattern. Let me show you something. When God created Adam and Eve, God created Adam, and Eve came the side of Adam. So we see, even from the beginning, we see on the second Adam, in his wisdom, God showing us his love beyond our understanding. He gave his son on the cross. So the starting foundation place of love, as if Eve came out of Adam, the church came out the side of Christ. When they put the spear in him, there was blood and water, signifying that the word and the spirit and the redemptive work of the Christ. So the unshakable foundation where, be it authority or power or dominion and everything given, whatever it is, no one can stand. This unshakable foundation is the foundation of the church. So we see the pattern again. We're going to come and land with the verse Ephraim read from Ephesians chapter 4 at the end. But this, when you look at on the cross, the highest thing we see there is the blood of Jesus. Because in Leviticus it says, the life of an animal, or the life is on the blood. So for our sin, if there is a punishment, even in the Old Testament, the reason why so many sacrifice, unbelievable sacrifice, every morning and afternoon, every day, there should be sacrifice. All the feasts, there will be sacrifice. The temple ground is like where they slaughter animals, blood is flowing. So when a person bring a lamb, he knows that lamb is innocent. But he, at the same time, he has a guilty conscience, the power of sin on a person. So he's presenting, he's transferring this guilt, my sin, is transferred on the lamb, the innocent lamb. So when the lamb is slaughtered, when the blood flow, the person standing, that's my sin. That is the result of my sin. That lamb is taking my sin. That was a covering. But God in his wisdom, he's provided us with his son. We see in Genesis, when the first time when sin happened, Adam and Eve, they closed themselves with fig tree. But we see the provision God has given them. He covered them with a skin of an animal, which means blood has to be poured out. Covering has to be poured out. We see in Cain and Abel, the same thing. Abel provided a lamb, signifying the reason it's accepted is the blood there. We see it was a personal thing between Abel and Cain. We see Adam, Noah, when it comes to Leviticus, we see a family, then a nation. There was a blood provided, a sacrifice provided for the sin of the family. Then we see the sin of nations. But John, when he introduced Jesus, he introduced the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the whole world. So the church existing in the world is proclaiming this gospel that there is a solution. You shouldn't have a guilty conscience. Yes, you are in a fallen body and in a fallen world, but there is a solution. There is good news. You don't have to be guilty conscious anymore. You don't have to be empowered by sin anymore. Deliverance came. Basically, salvation is deliverance, which is carrying on according to God's plan. So the church is proclaiming this. So we see this. You are the body of Christ. You are the person who speaks in behalf of Christ as an ambassador. Do the work physically. Go there. And we are the instrument of righteousness for the kingdom of heaven. So we have to clearly see. We do not want to be like the church in Galatians, who once saw what God did through the cross. But as Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, he said, I would like to know who bewitched you, who hypnotized you, so that you turn your eyes away from the cross, from the foundation, which means that is it. So this authority, power, dominions can come and do their things, and we will be limited. But we want to be focused. Paul carries on in Galatians chapter 4, he says, I'm in labor, he says, that Christ will be formed in you again, born again. So we have to be clear, like we were saying earlier on, when we worship Lord and when we walk in and out in this world, we are connected with eternal God, with the Holy Spirit. If I say, who is this guy? Most people say, Jesus. We're not talking about this. You see, this is a deception. This is because our brain is kind of likes graphics things, and we fix things in our head in a wrong way. And it's even things like this will deceive us and like shift us from focusing what happened on the cross. This is not Jesus. But you see this picture in a lot of people. Maybe if I come to your house, I might find one or two. Even in church, you find a picture like this. It's helpful when we see the film, yeah, sometimes to envisage. But we shouldn't be deceived. This is the actor who acted as Jesus the Nazarene. So this is the person like a few years back. He's old now. I don't know if he's still alive or not, but the reason I'm bringing this is, it might be very simple, but it will divert us from the focus of that the cross that Jesus died for us. I think his name is Robert Paul or something like that. But when we talk about the cross, please do not look into images. Rather, connect, like earlier on we were, as we were worshiping, we connecting with the power, this unshakable power, which works in my life. I have seen a lot of sinful natures being ripped out of me. And I have seen when the new nature, the new creation, growing stronger and stronger and stronger, while the old nature dying by every day. And we have to subdue and govern this by the power of the blood. The first day I was here, I remember Ephraim already went through this section. This is the one place where Jesus said, especially in verse 18, I'll read it from 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, it's very important. I like, when I study my Bible, I didn't do it like the first day, but throughout time, I study the background, historical fact, and how other teachers taught about these things. The very verse by itself, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. So what is the significance? I believe if the Bible mentioned a place, a number, or a name, even a dot, it is for a purpose. I'll come back to this. Let me show you. Caesarea Philippi, if I use a map, this is the Sea of Galilee. So Capernaum is Nazareth, Cana is somewhere here. And Jesus' ministry was from Capernaum. And across the Sea of Galilee, there are over 10 cities called Decapolis. They are like the, in that time, they are like the Las Vegas of this Paris or London or somewhere where a lot of worldly things you can't indulge into in sin of the lust of the eye, the lust of flesh, the pride of life. So the same way, if you go further up a little bit this way, that was another worship, idol worship, Caesarea Philippi, somewhere there. So what? It's just like saying Jesus took the 12 apostles to Las Vegas. It doesn't make sense. But that's what he did. He taught them the word. He taught them about the kingdom. He took them. And the reason he took them there is, and he asked them, who do people say about him, himself? So he asked them, his disciple, who do people say that the Son of Man? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus. So church belongs to who? Jesus. My church. And the forces of Hades will not overpower it. You see, there is a force, the kingdoms. So he brought them there where the highest activity of the darkness was happening. And he asked them, so the gospel we preach and the gospel we have received is not ideology. It's not something created by clever men. It's powerful. It worked in my life. In so many of us are witness. So he took them there. He said, who do you say I am? So if you believe, and when we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, which means Jesus is Lord, he is God, it's powerful working in our life. Sin is no more in charge. Sin is not my master anymore. Jesus is my master. He gave us power to overcome our sinful natures. And he said, when we say the church, like Ephraim said, he's not talking about the building. So, how are you? How are you? It's something we, by acknowledging the cross, by being focused, first of all, his power continually work in our life daily. Then he said, I will make you. Who's making who? I will make you fishers of men. You shall be. It's not saying you shall be, but who's making you fishers of men? I will make you. So he's working on you. The Holy Spirit is working on you. He's giving you power. Let alone what happened on the cross. I don't even know myself. I thought I knew myself until I see the cross. If you compare yourself with Jesus, then day by day, it's kind of weird, paradox. The reason I say that is, day by day, you will discover, whoa, is that me? I have that desire, that thought within me. I have this capability to do this. I'm discovering that. But at the same time, there is a freedom. The minute I know how much I fall down, there is a provision which has been paid on the cross, the blood of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit empowers me. Then, one at a time. So, the church is a place where the called out ones gather, share grace, be stronger, go out, do the work, come back. This is the life we have. So, He is building His church. I will build. Oh, Ephraim and few of you, let's plan and organize, and we build a church. No. We give ourselves for His work. He gives desire and wisdom. He is at work. I totally believe, He is at work in my life, in your life, for His glory in this ministry as well.